So I don't know if you know this, but May 1st is National Admin Appreciation Day. And since this episode is airing just a few days out from that, I wanted to do an admin appreciation episode and just kind of share some of the best ways that my admin in the past have supported me and why I'm so grateful for each of them and what they were able to do for me. And thus, in doing it for me, they were doing it for my students too. And my hope with this episode is that it would, one, maybe encourage you to reflect on the ways that you have been supported by your admin. You know, none of these people I'm referencing in this episode were perfect by any means. They all had things that they did not do great, but were keeping this episode positive. So I think it's an opportunity to reflect and be positive here. And then two, I also hope that this episode could maybe be an opportunity to serve you and maybe your admin, if you share this episode with them, with ideas of ways that they can better support you as an educator. Because a lot of these are really small things that made a massive difference. I've said this before on this podcast, but your admin will make or break your experience at a school. I truly believe that. You know, I really feel like how the school is run from the top down impacts everything, like about your day-to-day experience in the classroom and then outside the classroom with your work-life balance. And so admin really, really matter and good ones should really be appreciated. And that's what we're going to do in today's episode. So let's get into it.
This is Secondary Science Simplified, a podcast for secondary science teachers who want to engage their students and simplify their lives. I'm Rebecca Joyner from It's Not Rocket Science. As a high school science teacher turned curriculum writer, I am passionate about helping other science teachers love their jobs, serve their students, and do it all in only 40 hours a week. Are you ready to rock the time you spend in your classroom and actually have a life outside of it? You are in the right place, teacher friend. Let's get to today's episode.
So when I think back on my teaching experience, you know, there's so many different people that can fall under that umbrella of admin. You, of course, have your principal. Usually there are a vice principal or maybe more. I was at a school once where I had five vice principals. You know, you might have an instructional coach or an academic dean or a headmaster. I had a headmaster at my private school. So there were a lot of different people that could fall under, you know, this umbrella of what we would define as admin. And so I'm really going to take the time just to highlight three different people. And I'm not going to share their names just because, you know, their names don't matter, but just the qualities of them that were so appreciated and that really made a difference. And so the first will be my principal from my very first teaching job. He had a very polarizing personality. I really found that people either absolutely loved him or absolutely couldn't stand him, because he had this really strong personality. And like I said, I'm not going to harp on people's negatives here because this is an appreciation post, but I do think it's worth acknowledging the humanity of these people, that none of them are perfect, that you can't be good at everything. And that's why I think it is important to focus on, you know, some of the things that they are really good at. So he was a very black and white administrator. There was no gray. And when there's no gray, there's no grace. So the benefit of that was, I don't know if I've ever worked for an administrator that was so fair and so firm in holding the line for students, especially. Like, his yes meant yes and his no meant no. And you knew it and the students knew it. So the hard thing then is it's hard to change his mind, you know, if you have some ideas and there's some inflexibility there. But I think with the demographic of the school that I was in, it was a very large public school, really diverse student body, you know, maybe could be described as maybe a rougher part of town, if you want to say that. But because of that, and because the size of the student body itself, holding a hard disciplinary line was so necessary to have the school be as successful as it was in all the ways that it was. And so that is what he did. He had such a firm boundary with students and such high standards for student and student behavior. And because he held them so firmly, students really took what he said seriously. Okay, now, he was insanely strict about things that, to me, I don't care about. Like, for instance, dress code. I got in trouble multiple times as a teacher for not upholding dress code because he would find out if he found a student out of dress code, you know, in second or third period, he would go and look up their first period teacher who had them at the beginning of the day, and we would get in trouble for not having corrected the dress code at the start of the day. Like, he was that strict. And he was insanely strict about language. If you swore in the hallway, any swearing was an automatic in-school suspension. Okay? So I know this kind of sounds insane when I'm saying it this way, but it's a dramatic example that does kind of give you a visual, though, for this how hard he set these standards. But what I found was so interesting was that because he set this kind of standard in terms of dress and speech, it almost created a decorum and a respect for the school in general. Like, people would always comment when they came into our school, knowing where it was located, you know, in our city, and be like, this is like the cleanest, nicest, kept together school ever. And of course, we had an amazing, you know, custodial staff. But I do genuinely feel like students respected the space and the teachers and the authority in the building because there was such a high standard set for everything, all the way down to the words that came out of their mouths in the hallway when they're chatting with their friends. You know, again, it was intense. Like, that's like the best word I can explain. And maybe it would have grated on me longer if I stayed at the school longer, but especially as a first and second year teacher, that kind of strictness was just really a service to me as a teacher. Okay. Like, I just knew that he would have my back in any disciplinary situation. And I knew that it didn't matter how big or rowdy my classes were. I felt safe teaching there because I knew what he was doing behind the scenes, what he was doing in front of students, and how he would support teachers in any sort of conflict with students. And that was really, again, so important for me as like a 22-year-old walking into my first classroom, teaching some students, you know, the youngest ones were 8 years, you know, younger than me, but some of them were only 4 years younger than me. And just to have that support was a game changer. Another totally different but really practical and specific way that he really supported me was my first year teaching. He ensured, and then I didn't even realize till later, all of the science department, we had our planning period lining up with lunch. And so we were on a 90-minute block schedule. And so that meant we had our 90-minute planning period and it lined up with the 30-minute lunch. So it was a 2-hour block. And the reason he did this was because he knew how much extra prep time science teachers needed for labs and stuff like that. And I just thought, what a gift that is. Like, that is such a gift to have such a large chunk of time. And I didn't even realize how spoiled I was until I went to my next school and only had, you know, a 50-minute planning period. I know some of y'all have even less than that. So I just am trying, again, I'm trying to give you guys some ideas. Like, that is one really easy thing from a scheduling standpoint, to be able to line up a planning period with a lunch period just to get you, and you have that, you know, 7 to 5 minute bell transition period that gets built in there too. It just gives you so much more extra time than you really think. So those are two things I really, really appreciated about my first principal. The next person I want to highlight, the next admin, was the junior class vice principal at my first school. I've talked about him before. So we had a vice principal for each grade, you know, freshman VP, sophomore, junior, senior. And then there was also like an additional freshman VP that, because we kind of technically had like a freshman academy. So there were kind of two people admin over the freshman academy. And so I taught biology and physical science at that first school. So I basically had all freshmen and a handful of sophomores, but I didn't really connect with any of those VPs. Like, I just didn't, I don't know. I don't know what else to say other than like relationally, we didn't connect. Two of them I really respected. One of them, I'm going to be honest, I had like zero respect for as an educator. I'm not going to get into it. Again, this is a positive podcast. But I needed someone in my corner on more of like a day-to-day basis. Like, I told you how my principal would have my back, you know, if I had this parent conference or whatever. But like on a day-to-day basis, the person, my direct superior would have been my vice principal. That's who I would have been told to go to other than, you know, my department chair. And so all of the science department, we were on the third floor and the junior VP, his office was on the third floor. So they each had offices on different floors. And so he was like the one that was physically closest to me. And when I had to do my hall duty, I had to sit outside of his office. And so I just made a connection with him. And, you know, I was 22 and he was like 65. I think he retired like a year or two after I left. And so it's not like we naturally had anything in common. So I want to encourage you that that doesn't need to be a barrier for having a relationship with someone. But I want to also encourage you just how important it is to have that person who is for you and is physically close to you and like you can go to quickly. Like if you can go to your principal on a daily basis, that's great. But I know if you're in a large school like I've been in, that's not reality. And so I was trying to think like, why was he so great? And I think the best words I can think of are he was available, physically available and adjacent to me, really easy to reach. His door was like always open. Okay. Unless he was like meeting with a student or something, his door was physically always open. They had two doors like to enter in his office and they were both always open. And I just appreciated that so much. He genuinely cared about students. He cared about me. Like if I kind of talked to him about a student that I was having a hard time with and he would know because we always had to be in the halls, like he would kind of make a point to walk over there and talk with them. And again, like I was outside of his realm of responsibility, but I just felt really seen by him and taken care of. And so my encouragement for you is like, if you don't feel connected to your direct supervisor, maybe see if there's another admin that you do feel more connected with. Maybe it's the instructional coach. You know, maybe it's, like I said, the freshman academy principal that like you don't even teach freshmen. I just think finding someone in that upper management level who gets you, that you get them, and that you just feel like you have in your corner, I just really, really think that's a game changer. And so I want to encourage you to do that. I felt like he really saw me and really knew me. I actually remember when I was applying for jobs and we were moving for my husband's job, and I had to apply for new teaching gigs, obviously, because we're moving across the state. I like wanted to ask him to be one of my references. And he was like, hey, I would like love to, but you know, you really need to have your principal on there. And my principal did a fine job, but I was like, he doesn't really know me. And I felt like my vice principal really, really knew me. And I just think on a day-to-day basis, that really, really matters. Okay. And then the last person I want to highlight is my most recent upper school principal. I worked underneath at private school. That was the last school I taught at before I left to stay home with my kids and do It's Not Rocket Science and the Secondary Science Simplified podcast full time. So y'all, I loved this principal so much. So like I said, we had a headmaster and then there was an upper school, a middle school, lower school principals. There was an academic dean, but he was technically over me because I taught mainly high school classes with a handful of middle school, but he was one of my direct supervisors and he's my favorite person I ever worked for. I even said when I had my exit interview, like, because they all kept pushing me, like, when do you think you'll come back? And at the time I was planning on coming back after the first year of my oldest life. I just wanted to be home for his first year because if you've been around here long, you know that he was adopted and just really wanting, I knowing that there were going to be a lot of additional challenges to his acclimation for our family, you know, that are unique to an adoption situation as opposed to potentially like a biological child. I just wanted to be there that first year. And so I said, I'll be back after this year because I was on extended leave as long as he is still working here. Like that is just how much, you know, I loved working for this man. And then as many of you know, I found out I was pregnant very quickly after we adopted and then ended up having our second that August. So then I missed that next school year. And then mid that school year is when the pandemic hit. And then he left during that time and he's not there anymore. And so I'm like, I don't want to go back, which I know sounds dramatic, but like if you haven't had a great administration situation, once you're under great admin, it is so hard to imagine settling for anything less. And he was genuinely the best and so, so great to me. And I'm so grateful. But here are some, instead of just gabbing about him on and on about how much I appreciated him as a person, here are just really specific things he did. And again, I hope these give you guys some ideas for how you can ask your admin to support you. So first and foremost, when I got to this school, I was told I was not going to be in a science classroom. I was put in an old computer lab, no running water, no power connection, obviously, you know, no science equipment. The only thing it had was a lot of outlets since it was a former computer lab. And they ripped the carpet out for me. That was like, we made it a science classroom by taking the carpet out and exposing the tile that was underneath. Yay, you know, that was all I had. And so one of the things that was a game changer was like, I was like, hey, if I'm not going to have a science classroom, where are my students supposed to do labs? And so he worked tirelessly. It didn't happen right away, but he worked tirelessly that first year to get me lab tables to replace my desks with. That was such a, like, you know, he couldn't give me a lab space. It just didn't exist, but he helped to do the best we could to accommodate otherwise. And for a while, I've told y'all, I used a like foldable you know, table with a plastic tablecloth on top of it that I could like wipe off really easily. That was my demo table at the front of the room until eventually we acquired enough tables for every group of two students to have a table. And then eventually I was able to have a demo table as well. But even y'all, for a while, I just would take two lab tables once I started getting them and I'd put them, stuck them together. And so there were two together and I could end up fitting like six students around it instead of, you know, just four. And so that's how we just kind of made it work until I had enough for pairs. But he worked tirelessly to move the money, even if it wasn't increments. Like, I just think a good admin is going to hustle for you. Like, if the money's not there, they're willing to compromise. Another example of the compromise is, like, I was in that terrible classroom that, you know, wasn't made for teaching science. And I was like, I need as much whiteboard as possible. And whiteboard's expensive, but shower panel board is pretty decent and can pretty much get the job done. So he went to Lowe's and got me, like, some cheap shower panel board, and we drilled it in, and almost every inch of wall space was covered with shower board. So I had, you know, I may not have had lab space or running water and had to use, you know, the sink in the girls' bathroom to get running water for demos, but I had a ton of whiteboard. And again, doesn't solve the lab problem, but it's just a very kind and considerate thing he did. Like, again, going above and beyond to support me when he couldn't support me exactly how I really wanted to. Another example is, you know, my projector got blurry and there wasn't money in the budget. He bought me a $60 projector out of pocket. Like, he literally was like, I'm just going to get this for you, and came and installed it himself. And that just shows his care for the people. I just know. That really touched me that he did that when I knew, based on the time of year it was, like, the budget was kind of already set. Money was already allocated and it wasn't there. And yeah, it was $60, not like it was $1,000, but those little things make a difference. Another thing was he was really always willing to compromise and, like, be really reasonable when asking you to take on other requests. So that's kind of going to be my last example for him because I don't want to gab all day. But when I was asked to take on teaching AP biology, I was like, you guys have to send me to an AP summer institute. The teacher I was taking over for AP bio hadn't been to a summer institute since they rewrote the exam back when that had happened. And I was like, I need to go because I can take all his materials, but even he has said, like, I wish I've been able to make it to an APSI and I haven't. So I need you guys to send me so I can learn the new way of AP. They wanted to just send me to like a virtual one because it was way cheaper. And I really, really pushed to be able to go to an in-person one. And I think if you can go to an in-person AP Summer Institute, y'all, it makes all the difference to have that community, to have the face-to-face time with the instructor. All of the ways you'll be able to experience doing some of the labs with the instructor, the materials you'll physically walk away with. I mean, it's an absolute game changer. And here we go. Here's the compromise. They couldn't afford to like put me up in a hotel and stuff to go to this. And there wasn't one within 4 hours of where I lived. Okay. So, and if it's a week long, I can't be commuting 4 hours a day, you know, 8 hours total there and back. So the compromise was we found one in Atlanta, which is where one of my college roommates lived. And I was like, if you can just like pay my registration, I will pay my transport. I'll get myself there and I'll stay with my friend and I'll pay for my meals and like all of that. And that, again, the willingness to compromise was a game changer. And then the other thing he really did to support me when I took on AP Bio was AP Bio was going to be my sixth prep when I was taking it on. And even though I taught the others for years, so they were kind of more in autopilot mode, I was like, this is just too much. Like, I need at least like one class period that's a duplicate of like something. I need like two biology CP sections. Okay. I'll take anything a duplicate. I just need to get rid of one. And he helped me figure out how to do that. It was hard. And, you know, it meant one of my coworkers had to take on a new prep. But, you know, luckily I write curriculum for a living. So I was able to give them all of my curriculum, you know, all the answer keys, all the things. And we made it work. So I just think having an admin that's willing to compromise with you to help find some middle ground to get you the support you need is a game changer. Okay, so hopefully these give you some ideas, you know, admin that you can trust that are going to hold the line, you know, and support you in disciplinary measures, who really have a firm grip on the discipline of the school. Absolute game changer for me. Admin that really know you and care about you and students and are in your corner, you know, and available. That is what my second admin I highlighted did. And then the third one, just doing what it took to support me and find the money or find a compromise. Just the hustle he had when he didn't have to help improve, you know, my happiness in the classroom and my ability to do my job well is just something I'll never, ever forget about that admin. And then the last thing I want to say is this, all of these admin that I've been under had some sort of teacher's assistant or teacher's aide or student aide program. And I was a student aide when I was even in high school. I've talked about this on the podcast so many times. The simplest way for admin to truly support teachers so easily is more on the school counselors. I'm going to say that. They have to like work this in people's schedules, but it's free, okay, is to implement a teacher's aide program. I have a blog post on this. I will link. Also, if you listen to episode 127, when I interviewed my chemistry teacher, he also talked about how my old high school, it always had the student aide program, which is like a no credit hour class. So it'd be like count in there. It'd be like a study hall type class, but they get to help you. They also at his school, my old school now and his current school, have a peer tutor program, which now counts as an advanced like elective course. But that's how he gets the like 1%, like the best of his best AP Chem students who take it as juniors to come back in senior year. And they're his peer tutor during AP Chem and they help with so many things. And I just thought that was genius. So all of my admin I just highlighted have that in common. Tell your admin now, this episode is airing at the end of April. Now is the time to get these things going in the counseling department so that it can be in place next school year, okay? I cannot tell you how much I recommend putting this type of program into place. And then the last thing I want to say about these individuals is none of these admin bought me curriculum, okay? Or a lot of lab supplies or necessarily any lab supplies. So I just want to highlight that. I think sometimes we can get really defeated because we're like, they're never buying curriculum or never doing anything like that. I just want to encourage you that there's so many ways that they can support you without having to, you know, buy you a curriculum or, you know, send you to some professional development course you really want to go to, even though I do think they should send you to APSI, okay? So I'm going to link in the show notes episode 69. Is an episode where I talk about a lot of other ways that admin can support you, but I also talk about getting them to buy you curriculum. I think all admins should be willing to buy teachers' curriculum. Like nothing makes me happier, y'all, than when I get a purchase order request because I know that an admin is paying for a teacher to have the curriculum they actually want. So episode 69 shares a lot of practical tips for how to get your admin to buy you curriculum if you need it, but it also shares ways that they can support you without buying curriculum. And I hope that you know, this episode gave you some ideas too. And I think you should share this with your admin and say, I appreciate you. I see these things in you. You know, share them this episode with those people. And I just want to end by shouting out all the amazing admin out there that are supporting teachers. Like if you're an admin, you're listening to this podcast, that just already shows me that you care about teachers because you took the time to spend 20 minutes listening to this podcast. And I really hope that if there's anything you hear from this, you know, it's that one, you would be consistent and trustworthy and available for your teachers. That's something you can do for free. And two, this will take a little bit more sweat equity, but it'll cost no money. It's implementing a teacher's aide program. Talk to other schools in your area, see if they have them and forms you can use and all that legalese. You can check out my blog post for some specifics about how it kind of worked from my end as a teacher. I unfortunately don't know how it worked as a school counselor. Like I wasn't in on the back end at all, but game changer. I've never had to teach without having a teacher's aide and it rocks. And I wish I'd had a peer tutor after talking to Mattson in episode 127. So I hope you found this episode helpful and I would love it if you would leave a review today if you have an admin you appreciate. Leave a review for the Secondary Science Simplified podcast wherever you listen. And if you want to, you know, hear any of those other episodes I mentioned, like the one with Zach or the one about getting your admin to buy you curriculum and how to kind of convince them of that, you can head to the show notes at itsnotrocketscienceclassroom.com/episode128 to grab those. All right, teacher friends, that wraps up today's episode. If you're looking for an easy way to start simplifying your life as a secondary science teacher, head to itsnotrocketscienceclassroom.com/challenge to grab your classroom reset challenge. And guess what? It's totally free. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'll see you here next week. Until then, I'll be rooting for you, teacher friend.